Da 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 da. Hello, everyone. This is a special new program with Thompson called Bedtime Stories with Thompson. And Thompson, welcome to the world of classic literature.
Welcome to the world of classic literature.
So Thompson has picked out our first book. These are Moby Books, illustrated classic editions. They're fantastic for kids who have learned to read, and we're in the first, K through six, we'll say. The book Thompson selected is 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea by Jules Verne. Truly a classic. So we start about the author. Jules Verne was born in 1828 in the seaport town of Nantes, France. As a boy, Jules sat at the docks listening to sailors' tales of faraway places and imagining himself exploring unknown worlds. But when he attempted a seagoing adventure himself, his father pulled 12-year-old Jules off a ship bound for India. A severe beating led Jules to promise, "From now on, I'll travel only in my imagination." And travel he did. In over 100 books and stories, Jules Verne took his readers on imaginary journeys inside volcanoes, under oceans, over unexplored countries, to the moon, and around distant planets.
Long distance planets.
His heroes traveled in balloons, steam tanks, rocket ships, submarines, electric autos, and mechanically driven islands. These inventions may not seem surprising today, but Jules Verne predicted these wonders over 100 years ago when men traveled by horse, actually at this point, over 150 years ago. These inventions may not seem surprising today, but Jules Verne predicted these wonders over 150 years ago when men traveled by horse and carriage and when steam engines were just being developed. Yet Verne made all his inventions believable because he explained them with accurate scientific details. 30 years before an actual ocean-going submarine was developed, Verne's remarkable Nautilus was sailing 20,000 leagues under the sea. When Jules Verne died in 1905, many of the inventions he had predicted had already become realities, but Verne would have been pleased to know that the U.S. Navy was so inspired by his underwater invention that it named its first atomic submarine, the USS Nautilus, in honor of the man who many said invented the future. Chapter 1, The Mysterious Monster. The year 1866 was marked by several strange and mysterious events at sea. Ships from many countries had met an enormous black thing, hundreds of feet long. It was larger than any creature known to scientists. The thing gave off an eerie glow underwater and spurted columns of water hundreds of feet into the air. The thing was sighted in July off the coast of Australia, then, 3 days later, in the waters of the Pacific Ocean, more than 2,100 miles away. The next sighting, 2 weeks later, was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, 6,000 miles away. What an extraordinary creature this must be to move from one place to another in such a short time. Reports of this thing caused great excitement in every country of the world. Wild stories about all kinds of sea monsters appeared in newspapers in every language of the globe. Scientists argued among themselves as to whether such a huge, speedy sea monster could exist. Then, early in 1867, this sea monster stopped being a scientific problem and became a real danger. Merchant steamers and passenger ships were being struck by something. Was it a rock, a reef, or this sea monster? One ship, the Scotia, was examined in dry dock after a collision at sea. Her engineers couldn't believe their eyes. A hole in the shape of a perfect triangle had opened up her thick steel hull. I had read about these events during my visit to the United States, where I was gathering plants, animals, and minerals for the Paris Museum. As professor of natural history at the museum and as author of a book called Mysteries of the Ocean Depths, I, Monsieur Pierre Aronnax, am considered an expert on undersea life. But I was as puzzled about this monster as everyone else. I searched my mind for a creature that might fit the descriptions given by various sea captains. I came up with the narwhal, a kind of whale which can grow to a length of 60 feet. A gigantic one, hundreds of feet long, might very well exist in the unexplored ocean depths. Then, too, the narwhal has a tusk as hard as steel. It could have made the hole in the hull of the Scotia. The United States government decided to take steps to rid the seas of this terrible monster. A very fast warship was outfitted with every known weapon, from harpoons to cannons, to track down and kill the creature. Through the kindness of President Andrew Johnson, I was invited to join this expedition in search of the narwhal, together with my loyal servant, Conseil, who for 10 years had never left my side anywhere in the world. I boarded the warship Abraham Lincoln. Commander Farragut welcomed us aboard, and soon the ship moved out into New York Harbor. Hundreds of ferry boats filled with cheering people followed us for an hour. The Abraham Lincoln lowered and raised her 39-star American flag in thanks. We followed the coast of Long Island eastward, and by nightfall, we entered the dark waters of the Atlantic Ocean. And that's the end of chapter 1, kids. Check with us again for chapter 2.